Hi, this is Paul Dini.
And this is Misty Lee.
No, it's actually not Misty Lee. Misty Lee will join us in a little bit for our second part of our big Ken Plume interview. Woo! Back for week two from Comic-Con. I'm glad you were able to stay a couple of weeks after Comic-Con to just to do this podcast.
I had nothing else to do.
Yeah, why go home, you know?
Well, you locked the doors. Let's make that absolutely clear. You did lock the doors. And you have bars on these windows.
Right, and we have half a giant squid, you know, barring the door from
us. And I really need to use the bathroom still. Yeah, so this is incredibly awkward.
Yeah, we still have the squid left over from
this
last
is week, so. This is no way to do a podcast. How many months did you keep Mark Evan there hostage?
I don't know. We lost track.
It was almost a month and a half, I think. I don't know.
What?
A month and a half, I think. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But we were living off pizza. Now we got P.F. Chang.
Now we have P.F. Chang's. Now we have week-old P.F. Chang's. Yeah. Wow. There's nothing better than week-old P.F. Chang's.
Yes. Well, maybe a stomach pump.
maybe, but the bathroom is still occupied, so we can't get in there to find out.
I know. We've tried.
Comic-Con. You had a good time, right?
I had a time.
Did you ever?
I don't think you can define it as a good time. I did not have a horrible time like I'd had at past Comic-Cons.
Did you buy anything?
No, because I didn't make it onto the floor.
Wow. I made it onto the floor. I have to give props to Ezra, my hero of the convention, because I went on the floor Wednesday night to look over a few things, and I found myself in the Mattel booth.
Right. We all know you would.
Yeah. And because they were coming out, you know, I drifted by Mattel and I realized, oh yeah, there's a Harley Quinn exclusive this year. What is it? It's Polly Pocket. They took the Polly Pocket girls.
Right.
Of which I know nothing, except yeah. There's a line of toys called Polly Pocket. Why is that?
It's figures and cases that fit in your pocket.
I guess that's true. So for little girls to carry in their pockets. So little dress-up characters. So they made them of the Batman villainesses. So there was a Harley, a Catwoman, and a Poison Ivy. They all look pretty cute. And they're selling for $20, so I get in line. And they give you, like, a menu to fill out, like you're at, Five Guys Burgers or something. And,
right.
And I'm going down the list, and there's some sort of screamy doll that, Monster High doll that I know my niece has been looking for. Maybe I'll try and get that, see if they got that. And then there was the Polly Pockets, and then there was like Neil Gaiman's Death figure. I'm going like, oh, hey, I at least want to look at that, see cool. What that looks like. What?
That looked cool.
Yeah. And then I had some question, and I asked the guy, you know, am I filling this out, the booth guy, am I filling this out right? And he goes, sir, you can't get this figure. I'm saying, why not? Well, judging by your badge, you're a professional, and this line is for attendees only. It's like, well, I'm an attendee. I'm here. I'm attending. They said, no, sir, no, this is for preview night guests only. For people who've paid for the full 4 days, they get to get the figures early. You'll have to come back tomorrow. It's like, I don't want to come back tomorrow. Your booth is inconvenient, and it's off in a corner, and there's going to be a big line tomorrow. Can I get this figure now? No, you can't. There's a brief moment I start thinking, like, oh, I created Harley Quinn. Oh, I get one. And then I know what he's going to say is, I don't know who Harley Quinn is, and I don't know who you are.
Yeah, but if you use that voice. Yeah,
please get out of line. And all I know is there are fans all around me, and I'm going to see those giant, vibrating ha-ha-ha-ha's all around me, like when Linus talks about the Great Pumpkin and Charlie Brown.
No,
stable.
There are fans all around you. They would have been like, do you see what they're doing to Paul Dini? Get him!
Yeah, exactly.
For Polly Pocket, it ain't worth it.
What do you want, Paul? As they ransack the thing. I just want a Polly Pocket. Here's a Polly Pocket. You want one of the deaths, too?
Wait, minions. Let's not be so hasty.
Attica!
I've seen these gigantic block-long shield hover carriers. Hover carriers. Let's get a few of those. And I did. I saw a guy.
To Hasbro!
Yes, Storm Hasbro.
I'm just glad you wanted me to go to Mattel because Hasbro was impossible. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you volunteered. Thank you very much.
No,
you didn't
problem.
Have to do that, but you know,
all they made me do is a lap around the booth once before getting in line. Out of all the stresses I had to deal with, that was the least.
Well, thank you. I actually went back the next day, and then and I
Of course, he didn't go up and go, "Do you know who this is for? This is for Paul Dini."
Yeah.
I put it on my Twitter as sort of like, hey, you know, I just thought it was funny that I would get kicked out of anywhere and over a Polly Pocket doll.
Yeah,
and yet, everybody picked up on it like, oh, man, they shouldn't have done that to you. You should have got one for free. And it's like, no.
See?
It's
like, yeah.
I am Paul Dini. I'm Paul Dini, too.
Give me a free Polly freaking pocket.
I am Spartacus. Dini. I mean, Paul Dini.
Oh, man. Please,
everyone, please.
I did see a guy carrying away that giant shield helicarrier, and there was something about it, seeing it in the cardboard box, you know, with the Nick Fury on the outside, and just the fact that it was so huge, and I was going like, kind of feeling like it's Christmas, you know, like little kid for Christmas, and like when that big giant cardboard box shows up and you know it's just for you, and then you have to open it and there's going to be another box that actually shows what it is.
And that kid collapsed from exhaustion.
And then and I was thinking like, oh, you'd be the biggest hero this Christmas if you got that for your nephew, if you went in it. But it was like, what, $150 for that thing?
Yeah.
And I would have had to have two for that size.
That is reasonable.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Yeah. But I would have had to have gotten two of them.
I mean, you could play inside that thing.
Yeah. I mean, you could actually put wheels on that and use it as a skateboard.
Oh,
it's so freaking big. It's giant. You know, but it's cheap plastic, would just break, you know. But still, the helicarrier looks so damn good. I would want it just so my nephew could pull back the paper. Let's see that big ass Nick Fury on the box.
Well, then go, just get the box.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There's lots of them sitting outside my motel room.
And trust me, you have a lot more fun with this box.
Well, I don't. You know what? There's a way to get both. Is like, you know, because he'd open it and go, "Oh, cool," and then he'd toss it, and then he'd open some Legos next, and then he'd want some other stuff, and then it's sort of
you
like,
you got to put that thing together. That's like, not together in the box.
I know, but then I sort of like it ease the box over back into my suitcase. And then, like, after dinner when he's done breaking his Legos, it's like, hey, didn't I get something else? Didn't I get something?
I don't think like there's any like easing Avengers that box thing back into a suitcase.
What?
I think that's lugging it back out to the car.
Or my surfboard case. Okay, yeah. Something big enough.
He has that giant steamer trunk sitting
next
to the
tree. Didn't I get something else? And it's like, oh, no, nephew, you were hallucinating that.
What's that strapped to the top of your car?
Yeah.
Oh, it's nothing, don't look.
No, what's your car strapped to the top of?
Yes.
It's that big. It was so huge, and I was going like, man, that's pretty awesome.
Granted, they only bought 7 of them to the con.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like the must-have item, so it's like,
And derpy hooves. That was hard for me to get a hold of.
Oh, did you get a derpy hooves?
Nope, I didn't, because you had to wait like in line at 6:30 in the morning just to get the ticket to wait in line. And those sold out within the hour.
Who wants to do anything else at the con?
Yeah, for Hasbro, derby hooves. You had to get a ticket to wait in line. For all that shield helicarrier and everything, you had to get a ticket.
And they didn't even call it Derpy Hooves on the box, did they?
I don't know.
Now, what is the deal with that character? You can't call it that on the TV because
it's
insulting or something?
Yeah, and they barely use it anymore. But it was a mistake in animation because it's all computer generated.
Right.
The eyes weren't generating in the same pattern.
Yeah.
So it looked retarded to have a... Yeah. Not a great word to associate for that.
Uh-huh. It looked derpy.
Yeah, so it became Derpy Hooves.
So it's a real character.
Yeah, and there's another like con character-ish that's called Dr. Hooves, which deals with all things timey-wimey.
God, make it stop. We'll be filking next. Oh, God, I hate that when it gets so twee. I mean, I like characters. I like characters that are fun, but when the character is like a... such a nod to something else or is a version of that other thing. It's just
it's becoming very self-referential.
Twee and icky. And
I'm just hoping the next direct-to-video from Bruce features Derby Man.
Derby Man. That'll be fine.
Nice.
Derpy-derp.
Isn't Derpy a girl also? Or is she just a stupid horse?
I think she's a girl, but it's hard to tell.
Aren't all of them girls on My Little Pony?
I don't know. I'm not an expert. All I know is I have friends who are fans, and I heard of bronies.
I'm not an expert. I wasn't going to wait for Derpy.
Yeah, I would get a Derpy Hooves, but that's just because it's called Derpy Hooves.
Who doesn't want a retarded pony?
Yeah. It's not that. It's just, it's It's like the Marty Feldman of ponies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. See, it should have been called Feldman hooves.
That made it, yes.
Yeah.
I like the
Igor hooves.
Igor hooves.
I don't like anything about the My Little Ponies, except I like they'd be inclusive to include a brain damaged one.
Yeah.
And that would be the one that would be the one that would take off. Because when you develop these cartoon shows, they always say, oh, you got to have the simple minded one. And then you put it in, and it's never very funny. And so it's funny when one actually gets in there and it actually is dumb.
Who was which were the simple minded characters and shows you've worked on that were worked into based on that?
Oh, you know, like Clumsy Smurf, you know? Yeah. He was sort of like the dumb one. Oh, gee, Bob Smurf, I fell over. You know, like
kill him.
Stuff like that. And always the side.
Hello, Papa.
Always the sidekick character is always like, you know, the dumb one, you know, like Orko. Oh, gee, He-Man, I didn't mean to. You know, it's like, oh, Orko, you've killed us all again. You know, something like that. It's always, they always want.
Yeah, He-Man could manage that on his own.
Yeah.
He didn't need Orko.
No.
What was the Thundercats one? Snarf?
Snarf. Yes.
Snarf.
Snarf.
Those are the sidekick. The cute sidekick.
You're going to be doing that all night now.
You know. Archie has Jughead, you know. Yeah. Just, you know.
Oh, Creeper.
The dummy character.
Speaking of in the last episode.
Yeah, from the Horn King. Yeah, the sidekick and everything, so.
Who was, you know, very, very evil at the end of that when he takes control. And
although that character was done better and by the same voice artist in Basil of Baker Street.
Well, that's just an unimpeachable film.
Basil of Baker Street
Great Mouse Detective.
Yeah, Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, yeah, I was...
Great performance. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the original book was Basil of Baker
Street. Well, it was originally called Basil of Baker Street through production. And then they said, nobody knows what that is, so let's make it The Great Mouse Detective. People know what that means. Basil of Baker Street doesn't mean anything because kids are dumb and they don't know what...
Great performance by Vincent Price.
Yeah.
And that song. Oh, I love that song.
Goodbye Too Soon. Yes. We've actually used that as a going out song.
Yes, we did.
Here. And for you, we'll use it again tonight.
Oh, okay.
Instead of our usual swing and surprise, we'll go out on Goodbye Too Soon.
Goodbye Too Soon.
And isn't it a crime?
The dueling Vincent Prices. Yeah.
Thank you again for sending me The Muppet Show from 1979 that had Vincent Price on that. I had never seen that. It's Muppet Show from April of 1979.
So wonderful and so awkward that none of his jokes landed with that Midwestern audience that just did not know how to treat the black humor that he was trying. Because he was doing full-on Vincent Price, and the audience was like,
Well, even Uncle Deadly didn't get it. At one point, you know, they bring up Uncle Deadly. He goes, Master, so nice to see you again. Remember when we were on the Muppet Show? Oh, yes, Deadly, baby. How are you? Why don't you go get me a cup of blood? And Deadly just kind of goes like, what? Maybe I get you a cup of oatmeal or something. He has some sort of weird non sequitur line, but it's like he threw
out... Well, Jerry was concentrating on other things.
He grossed out his own henchmen. But that was the main reason I wanted to see that, because like when we went to the Muppets, our niece just flipped over Uncle Deadly. She'd never seen it. He's rather an obscure character.
Was that his first episode that Vincent Price won?
Yes, but he wasn't named till like two episodes later when he had kind of an introductory episode.
Was he on with Alice Cooper?
He was kind of in the background. He might have been in the background, but he was first named on the Twiggy episode where he shows up.
Of course.
Yeah.
Uncle Deadly and Twiggy.
Yes.
The best sketch they ever did.
Well, it was like, I'm the Phantom of the Muppet Show, and he was scaring everybody, and it was actually like a ham actor who had been like locked in the theater.
You should get your niece the action figure.
I did. I got
it. You got the
Uncle
Deadly?
Yeah, I tracked it down and I got it for Christmas because all through the movie she's going, "Who's that dragon?" She loves dragons. So that's Uncle Deadly. He's sort of like, you know, the all-purpose henchman kind of. Evil guy, but not too evil, you know. And she was just captivated with him. So when I wanted to see that because I knew that he was on that episode, and he actually had a nice little appearance in that Tonight Show episode. So hopefully he'll be back in more Muppet stuff.
Well, not if it's anything like that movie. I don't want him back. Best to keep them like all away.
Yeah,
the movie was atrocious.
Well, I don't know. I'd like to see him again in something. I you figure like Disney is now kind of going in for the safe gothic stuff. And he did have a big role in the movie, so they probably
will. Do a viral thing. Give him a hunt. Have him do Monster Mash. on a viral video. They've done what? They did Bohemian Rhapsody. They sure, did that was popcorn. Great. They, yeah, why not give him Monster Mash?
Well, that would be a good one.
Yeah. Uncle Ted, I was working in the lab.
Yeah, you can have all the monsters in there.
Sweet yeah,
you
throw them all in.
Mm-hmm. He's got those great finger motions, you know, like to rubbing his fingers together. Yeah.
So Monster Mash, done and done.
Done and done. So Uncle Deadly, you know, dust him off again. Bring him back for another appearance.
Any other, throw more dust on.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Works
yeah.
on Uncle Deadly.
Yeah, it does.
You want that musty feel to him.
I like that they have that, what is that, that marabou stuff coming out of his nose. So it looks like...
Nose hair?
Either has long nose hair or he's always giving off little wisps of fire or something. Mm. So...
I think he's got some coming out of his ears, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's just supposed to be old. I think he actually is supposed to be dead and brought back to life or something. I don't know. They had, you know, they were going to do that spinoff show with him for a while. Uncle Deadly's House of Badness, but I guess it never got off the ground.
Shame.
Well, that would be great, like if he was like a narrator of Tales from the Crypt or yeah. something like that.
So. Yeah, spooky Muppety things.
Well,
yeah.
sort of like the Muppet Rod Serling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, I think
introducing
so.
The... Sort of like porch the night gallery.
John yeah. Hurt did that in the Storyteller series.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or they could
well, maybe have him with John Hurt. He's the sidekick to John Hurt.
There yeah, you go. Yeah.
Bring John Hurt back. So what is our story today, Uncle Deadly?
Oh, a wonderful tale.
Of a That's pig. Just wonderful.
Of a pig who gets thrown off a cliff. I love those Muppet melodramas they did. Those were really funny. And but
of a pig. Well, and a BOT sandwich.
I'm not doing this skit.
No way!
Go on, Piggy. Come on. Go out there and do the skit.
You gotta go out there and do it.
I'm just a big fan of more Muppet stuff. I would like to see more of that stuff. It's almost there, but...
Well...
Anyway. When I was at Con, I went into the Pro Lounge for a minute, and some guys had like the working Gonzo doll that looked... Like, it was real. I mean, they could be in puppeteers for all I know. And
what were they selling these?
No, they're just sitting in the Pro Lounge, chilling out, and they have the puppets with them.
Maybe it was. Maybe
yeah, it could have been them. I have no idea.
Yeah, it might have been. I don't know. Puppet I didn't handlers. Hear Dave was coming in.
He does show up every once in a while. And then there are guys who walk around with Muppets that they made themselves. Yeah. They're just really intricate Muppets.
Well, how did they get into the Pro Lounge?
Yeah, that's the thing that made me think that they're actual puppet handlers.
Well, that could be.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about Con, any other exclusives, giveaways, or panels that you...
You did some panels, didn't you?
Yeah, I did the Kirby panel with Mark Evanier. Kirby yeah. tribute panel. That was a lot of fun. Talked about Jack and his influence on everybody and what it was like to...
Everything and everybody.
Yeah, in my case, I talked about what it was like to adapt his characters, his latter-day DC characters into the Superman shows and the animated DC universe. And to me, it was just like... Darkseid is a godsend when it comes to Superman because Superman just does not have that many great villains. He's got Lex Luthor, and I think over the years in Smallville and other things.
All he's got is Lex Luthor.
That's, you know,
Parasite, what personality is there to Parasite?
And there or hasn't
Toy Man.
There hasn't been a definitive Brainiac story yet. I mean, there was for a while...
Jeff Johns did a decent job in his later action runs sort of summing up why there isn't, but it's, again, Jeff Johns making everything neat and tidy with a bow. And
then undercutting it and destroying it.
Yeah.
Right. I kind of like where we were going in the animated series by putting Brainiac on Krypton and that he, you know, he wasn't responsible for the destruction, but he made sure nobody else got off. You know, I thought that was sort of a valid villain origin story. Mr. Mixes Piddalek, you know, for a long time he was a big part of the merchandise and he was part of the stories.
He had a Mego doll.
He had a Mego doll. He had action figures. He was like one of the you know big contenders. You know, he is to Superman what Penguin is to Batman, I guess. Yeah. But how do you do a story about him? How do you do a movie story about him? He's just a little guy who shows up.
Well, he reminds me of and obviously he was a very Impossible Man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is a hard character to work.
Which was famously abandoned by Stan and Jack rather quickly after his. But you know what? I think that they found a good thing, the Silver Surfer stories.
Yeah.
When they started using Impossible Man as like a yearly, come in and have an Impossible Man story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was a way to take a dark and cosmically gothic book and give it a dose of levity every once in a while. You just had right. the, you just had this this fun chaos character with this dour character that Silver Surfer is to come in and just shake up this ultra serious dour character.
Yeah. No.
As someone to play off and like, oh, lighten up.
Yeah, I think that works.
But knowing that doses. You yes. have that yeah, yeah. every once in a while.
With Mixus Pidlick, I for a long time I thought, what if...
But what's his motivation?
Well, the thing is, like, if he comes from a land of other imps like him, then why are they not all here? You know, why don't they all come here and screw with Earth?
Well, it's... All we know is Batmite, Mixus Pidlick, and... say you or say yes or whatever, the lightning guy from Johnny Lightning, right? The guy from the JSA, he was one of those imps.
And Quisp for Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
What if it's like a poker group and they're just goading each other on to go mess with this dimension?
I guess, but it gets so just, far out there that, you know, you've got an audience, for movies at least, who can kind of process, okay, Superman's from Krypton and he flies and he's strong. Okay, I'm along with that. There's a little guy in a derby, and he's magical, and he's from where now? And he does what? I just don't think the buy, other than for fans, would be too great. I think you could do it as sort of a, almost like he's a force of energy, or he is, when he's on our dimension, he takes a form that we can perceive, such as a little innocent man, and yet he...
So what if he's just a force of chaos?
Yeah, he's a force of chaos, or his attitude is like, in the fifth dimension... You know, I'm looking down two dimensions, and I'm, you know, you are to me what, I mean, I am to you what you are to the Earthling. Something like that. I mean, it's like,
I mean, isn't he essentially taking a magnifying glass to an ant when he's messing basically. With Superman? It's like, I can do this. This is my amusement, is to come in here. It's like his recreation.
Yeah. But I think his attitude is more like, it's interesting that you are a superior being who devotes time to lesser beings to help them. And I'm looking at you and you're almost a challenge to me, and I'm and I can mess with you. Why don't you, you know, it's almost something like, I can do godlike things, why don't you? You know, that sort of thing. It's because I would be you. Then I'd be at best I'd
so
be
a disappointment, like, oh, you're so simple.
Yeah. Something like that, you know? You play him like Q, like the Star Trek all-powerful god baby, you know, that shows up in every other Star Trek episode. He's the all-powerful god baby that, you know, messes with us for whatever reason. But even still, you know.
But that's why, and you know, an occasional dose. I mean, you only did Mixopolygon in what, one episode?
Two, and the second one was a mistake. And we should have only just done the one because we had everything we needed to say about him in that right. one episode. The second one was, God, Gilbert was funny. And, hey, you know what? Hey, Mixie and Bizarro, we got to do that. And then it's like, yeah, oh.
Derpy Superman.
What?
Derpy Superman.
Yeah, it was pretty lousy. But it's, I don't know. I think that there's a way to use them in the books that I think is worthwhile and effective. But, you know, everybody goes back to that Alan Moore story, you know. And I think that's a good story because it's a deconstruction story. You can... It's easy to take the characters and tell that final story. The easiest story in the world, the easiest Batman story in the world to write is the final Batman Joker story. The hardest Batman story in the world to write is Batman being Batman in 22 pages.
But that goes back to how nonsensical the ending of The Killing Joke is.
Yeah.
Like, in what universe is Batman going to share a laugh with the Joker?
Yeah.
And that's the one character who knows, understands the gravity of what the Joker's done.
Yeah.
And what, is that even acceptable? Oh, Jim, I just rescued you. By the way, I'm going to go share a laugh over with the one who just crippled your niece.
Yeah.
I'll be back in a second. Hold on. This is a really good joke. I'll tell you later.
Yeah. Ezra, did we talk about this in one of the last?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
About why I wouldn't want to adapt it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I still stand by it. You know, it's just like you...
How often did you toy with that on the animated series?
Well, it came up every once in a while, and I think that...
I mean, ultimately, you know, the animated series was a kid's series,
yeah.
And you have the fundamental thing of The Killing Joke is crippling Barbara Gordon.
It's just not... It's just not good animated entertainment.
There's a lot of rape and molestation in there, too.
Yeah, I mean, but you sort of did that you know, this sort of amusement park wild ride stuff in Mask of the Phantasm. Well, a lot of that stuff popped up.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I still go back to this, and that is, you've got a great story that works as a great story, as a great comic book story, and I've looked at it every other way, and I can't see it would be as amusing or as interesting as animation. So I keep going back and saying, you know, there's a ton of really good Batman Joker or Batman Penguin or Riddler or Bane stories that have not been written that you could animate. So let's come up with something that fits the medium of animation and maximize that rather than go out and... The Killing Joke has brand name value. It does have that. Right. Everybody knows the story. But let's come up with our own Killing Joke, you know, an animation that's really going to be soccer.
It's like, oh, let's do Death in the Family.
Well...
like, oh, yeah. I mean, and you came, you know, and as close as you could come in Return of the Joker.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some brutal stuff with Robin. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, like, let's come up with a story that we can finish. Now, Killing Joke ends, but it is almost like the Joker getting away at the end. He gets, Batman catches him, turns him over to the cops, and theoretically he goes back to Arkham again. I'd say 90% of the... the big Batman Joker stories, at the end, the Joker always gets away, or it's unresolved. At the end of Death in the Family, he goes down in a crashing helicopter, and, you know, Superman and Batman are both looking for him. Did he get away? I don't know. He might have, or maybe he burned up. I don't know. It's like,
I'm gonna get a drink.
Superman can't find him. Well, he must have dropped in that lead-lined water or something, you know? I can't see him. And that's the way it is. With every long Batman Joker story, the Joker gets away or gets blown up or it's unresolved and he's made a mess of Batman's life again and everything.
Yeah, so, even in the Jingle Bells parody, he gets away.
Which one?
Jingle Bells, Batman Smells.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah. Always gets away.
Forgive my ego. I thought you meant my Jingle Bells. Something I had done.
Use that voice in Dini Village.
Team up between Batman and Jingle
Bells. Bring the fans in. Bring them in.
Bring them in. Bring them in, First Mate Piggy.
I had nothing to do with that character pigs on your shirt. Begone.
It's the pigs in space.
We're keeping your money.
Yes, that's right.
I'm writing your script sheet out to generic.
I don't know. When I wrote this...
So what was the story you always wanted to do?
What? What story?
That got batted around in the Batman writer's room. What's the one that got away?
None of them. I did them all. I mean, I for a long time I thought they weren't going to do Over the Edge. Because I felt if I pitched it, it would be too close to a Perchance to Dream or a couple of other shows we've done like that. So I had to write that one first. And I actually just gave it and was like, here, I wrote an outline. This is the next one I want to do. And once I didn't have to pitch it because I felt if I pitched it, it would be, we did that one. But once they read it and they saw where it went, it was like, all right, yeah, we're doing this. So I don't think there was a lot of, I remember one. There was a Sandman team up. I think we've talked about this too.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a team up between Neil Gaiman's Sandman and Batman.
Yeah. How close did that come to happening?
It got close enough that I talked to Neil about it, and I got his okay on it, and I gave him.
Was it a Vertigo issue?
No, it was an episode of the show. It was going to be an.
No,
episode.
No. I mean, was it the Vertigo issue that shut it down, or just
no?
Internally?
No, it was some of my producers didn't really, they weren't hip on Sandman at that point. He was still pretty new.
This is he a Spider-Man villain? Why are we doing this? What?
Well, this was 92,
93.
They either. You know, didn't really grasp a concept, or they thought it was a little too out there for Batman that we were doing at that time. And then the moment kind of passed. So, but it had elements of It's a Wonderful Life in it, where Batman is badly wounded. And
speaking of John Hurt from earlier, wasn't he the supposed casting that you were?
That was who Neil felt would be great to do his voice, and I agree. That would have been really good. So, it was like, Batman is at death's door. Does he follow her or does he go back?
And if not him, Billy Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm the Sandman.
What about Timothy Spall? That would be
great. Ooh.
That would be nice. That'd be a Sandman with some grit in it.
Yeah.
So what's Superman? What were the Superman stories that kept getting batted around that you just kept shooting down?
Oh, I don't know. We did pretty much all, we did every Superman story. Every time we got a Superman story, it's like
was it pulling teeth towards the end of Superman. And obviously, you know, you had that big Darkseid finale to sort of bring it all in.
Not really. Once we had Darkseid, once we had firmly established him, we kept going back to him for stories. And we realized that once we broadened Superman's universe a little bit, we had more story material. Like if... We only did one Jimmy story that was really kind of bad, unfortunately. Supergirl turned into a wealth of ideas for us. Had we done more, we would have done more Supergirl stories. We would have brought in more characters from Apocalypse. We probably would have done what I did in one episode of Justice League, and that was bring in the Legion. And I think that we had talked, you know, seriously about doing more Legion stories and a bigger connection between them and Supergirl. And come on up. And things like that. So I think that there were plenty of places to go. But I think the DC Universe kind of, the animated DC, you went there anyway in Justice League.
Right.
You know, because suddenly we found, you know, we were using more and more characters. Supergirl was a full-fledged member of the League. And, you know, we began doing stuff like that. So I think that's where we would have gone, you know. And in fact, did go. It's hard for me to say because I wasn't really around when they did that.
Right.
So. But
sort of put the button on the universe.
Yeah. I like that they got to just about everybody. I love the animated universe. To me, that is, of course, I'm biased, but that to me is the most concise, tidy version of the entire DC universe.
Oh, yeah.
This is the universe that existed in between Batman and the Justice League.
I thought it was gorgeous when Justice League Universe started doing those Batman Beyond episodes where they dumped some people in the future, and they really tied all the stories together.
Yeah.
Waller had something to do with there where she revealed stuff, and it was fascinating.
That's what I wanted to do when I started writing the books. I especially wanted to do that in the Countdown series, was sort of to strip the DC Universe down in a way like that that would still maintain a lot of what was in the written DC Universe, but also give it that animated sensibility. But the thing is, not every writer was in.
But see, that's your main failing, is you want to make things understandable to the reader.
Well, you know, but there
you have to confuse and abandon.
That's the practice of every writer that's succeeding now.
But not sleight of hand, and then reveal, hey, I never had anything
hubris,
to begin with.
But my hubris was not every writer at DC Comics has been in our writer's room. And there are, you know, every writer has their own favorite stuff. It's like. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my favorite characters, and there are some writers out there who will fight to the death to say
Captain Carrot.
I would fight for Captain Carrot. I love Captain
there
Carrot.
You go.
But they will say, okay, you know, if this thing does not have Commandy, Detective Chimp, and
then we are done.
And Katana, then I'm not writing this damn thing. You know, these characters have got to be a big part of the
well, whatever. Game. Grant, fine.
Well, I don't know. There are new ideas that are coming, but then you.
I'm going to create
question.
A character called Boo Boo Kitty.
I'm playing devil's advocate here. Then you have to judge the fact that have you done too good a job of refining something that existed before and gotten that up and running, and it's just not that exciting. Here, what I'm saying is, I've got a Ford Falcon from like 1962, and I've repainted it and I've stripped it down. And I've got it up and running, and it's in beautiful shape, and it's the best car you've ever seen. And yet, it's an old car. You know, it's just not as exciting as something that's coming out next year. Even if what's coming out next year is a boxy SUV, that's still the new one. That's still going to have some appeal to it. Mm. So, you know, that's something I ask myself, you know, is, you know, should you tinker with a classic and get that as running as good as you can? Or are people just not interested? Are they're always going to be entranced by something new, even if that doesn't hold up, or you wind up stripping that down after a few years.
Yeah, but Boo Boo Kitty is a serial killer and cheats on his taxes.
Well, that's pretty good. I like that. So you were...
He's also Batman's third cousin.
Okay. That's good.
On his mother's side.
Mm, everybody's on his mother's side.
And that's who the fortune was stolen by. That's where the Wayne fortune came from, was the embezzlement of Boo Boo Kitty.
There you go.
Okay, I like it.
Who paid for it by embezzling the money from those he killed in his serial killer fashion.
Bye-bye.
Does this work?
Yeah. I'm up for it.
We're going to call it 53.
Great. Right.
Because it took just over a year.
Well, it's a bonus week.
Yeah.
So you were doing quite a lot of work with Kevin Smith during the con. How'd that work out?
We introduced some games for
Smarcade. Yes, you've got to plug those.
There's two games, Too Fat to Fly, which is purely about a physics problem that has been worked on for years in Smodco. And the other one is Let Us Dance, which is a nice little game where you try and hit colored notes at the right time to keep Jay dancing.
I played that. That was like it was almost like Simon or something.
The cross between Simon, Guitar Hero. It's a hand-eye coordination. It's a nice time killer. That one's free, and the other one is 99 cents. So very, very little investment for
these. All available on like iPhones and such.
They are on iPhone and iPad.
They're what the View Askew fan needs. Yeah. It's a fun time. While you're waiting in line to get into to Hall H to hear Kevin Smith.
Yes,
talk.
Or not even a. You don't have to be a View Askew fan. I mean, and there's they're for all ages. Both of them are all ages. Mm-hmm. So anyone, grandmothers.
Yeah.
Great grandmothers.
How did Kevin's talk go in Hall H? I missed it.
It's his it's his Q&A. It's his standard. Ask me a question and I will be funny.
Huh.
Yeah.
So,
any marriage proposals this year?
Yeah, but he said no to me.
Oh.
Awkward.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's like we're already working together. It's like, still, we could bring it closer.
Yeah, I know. Jen might have something to say about that.
I made games for you. No, no marriage proposals.
No marriage proposals.
Is that your measure of success for a panel? Was anyone proposed to?
No, it was just that was such a big part of the comic.
Either that or Andrew Garfield in a costume. One or the other.
It was such a big part of the comic, Comic-Con, the movie. You've seen that, right?
I have. That's going back, 12 years now? 11 years?
No, Comic-Con, no, the Morgan Spurlock.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. Oh, I loathe Morgan Spurlock.
Oh, really?
Well, I hate him as a, oh, look, I'm going to do simple things that have really easy answers and take an hour and a half to go, hey, I could have answered this at the beginning.
Then you would like this movie because he's not in it.
Well, no, done. Yeah. And done.
It's just a nice little Valentine to Comic-Con.
I'm going to do a job for 30 days and go, wow, jobs are hard.
Yeah, I didn't like that series at all.
Thanks, Morgan. I love spending time with you. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to eat bad food for a month. It makes me feel bad.
Yeah. Well, it, yeah.
Who'd have thunk it? That kind of thing is just infuriating about Morgan Spurlock.
Well, then he's not in
it's like, it's not profound, Morgan. It's right there at the beginning. Don't eat bad food for a month exclusively.
Nobody asks themselves these questions. They just go and eat, I suppose.
Yes, but to them, then that's something that they enjoy, right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's going in what? He was a vegetarian at the time? He's like, I'm going to eat hamburger, hamburger,
really?
Hamburger. Yeah, I think he was a vegetarian.
Well, that's
going
even worse for you. That'll screw you up even more.
And it's like, and then, I need to see a scene of you throwing up in the parking lot after your first Big Mac. It's like, what is this proving to me? Okay, then stop. Done. Experiment proven. They're bad for you. Okay, see you in an hour and a half.
Wow.
Or say no when they ask if they want it supersized. Done and done again. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things. It's like you're not telling us anything worthwhile that takes an hour and a half.
Mm.
You're basically putting on a sideshow. Mm. Wow, look, his wife says he's smelly now. Okay. What, again, first 5 minutes. I'm going to eat bad food. Okay?
Yeah.
Did you like Comic-Con? Is it Comic-Con the movie?
Yeah.
New Hope. Fans Hope.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I thought it was cute. I mean, I started watching it.
Stan Lee?
There was, but he was actually kind of charming. I will say this, though. 30 seconds into it, my feet began to hurt. And I was just going like, oh, God.
But when isn't Stan charming?
I am walking the floor again, and I can't get in the door here because they blocked it off. And I'm just tired. I want to go back to my hotel room. That's where the real magic of Comic-Con was for me this year.
Not doing the rounds?
After getting kicked out of the Polly Pocket line, it all comes back to Polly Pocket.
But I'm Stan Lee. I want a Polly Pocket.
I went over to the Fantagraphics booth, and I went to a few other booths.
I created Harley Quinn.
Whoever that is.
It says it on the package.
It's mine.
I'm Stan Lee. Excelsior.
And I have a walk-on on this toy. Look.
Kiss my butt.
Here I am in the background.
Spider-Man?
Yes. I just read books the entire time. I went and bought like a huge stack of art books and comic book reprints.
Well, you treat it as a nice sort of break.
And I went to my room, and I did like I did when I was 13. I went to my room and read fucking comics. And that's all I did was
read. Comic-Con's not about comics.
That was for me, man.
How much of Comic-Con, the movie, fan Hope Lost, actually dealt with comics? And how much was just the spectacle of Comic-Con?
Well,
people in costumes.
A lot of people were mourning the fact that it was not about comic books. It focused on several different people. One was a comic book dealer,
right,
who had come and brought his prized comic to sell because his business had taken a downturn. And by the end, he still managed to hold on to his comic. And his
X-Force number one.
It was Red Raven number one. And he had actually made enough of a profit that he kept it, although he subsequently sold it because he got a lot of money for it. Then there were two guys who came to be artists, and one guy thought he'd have a real easy time, and he didn't get any work. And then another guy got, you know, a couple of jobs, so it was more hopeful for him. Then there was another toy collector who was going on and on about a giant Galactus doll, the way I was going on about the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, that he had to get it.
Right.
There was a girl who made
Polly Pocket.
Yeah, it was sort of
the Polly Pocket.
I mean, I'll tell you, they should have had a bonus footage from this year cut in of me getting thrown out of the Polly Pocket line.
We need to recreate it.
Yeah, it's like, sell me the goddamn Polly Pocket. You're not getting
I'm sorry, but you're a professional.
What?
I can't do that to you. Don't you understand? We have rules, sir.
I am in line begging for a tiny doll.
Yes, you are.
How
in
professional
line.
Am I?
But right this is preview night. This is for attendees. You can't be doing this, sir. You are a professional. You're taking it away from the common man. This
I'm not a professional if I'm begging for a
How
Polly
dare
Pocket
you?
Doll.
I'm How dare you? How dare you denigrate you those who dignity. Love Polly Pocket?
You know what?
My mother created Polly Pocket.
Polly Pocket can go jump in the lake.
How dare
and
you?
Take her little friends with her.
How dare you? Get out of my line.
I didn't see a scan.
I'm Maximilian Q. Mattel.
Oh yeah.
Heir to the Mattel fortune. This is my line. Get out.
Then give me my fucking Polly Pocket, asshole, before I pop you one.
Do I got you one. Not get it, sir? Tomorrow. You come back tomorrow. Polly Pocket for you tomorrow.
Yeah. You know what? Here's my fist and here's your face and I want my damn Polly Pocket. Get up.
You're as bad as that Stan Lee guy.
Yeah.
Excelsior!
Give one to Stan, too.
Get out of here, Stan.
I remember creating this.
I created the entire world.
It's all my dream.
In 5 days.
Yes.
I worked faster in those days. I would stand by my pool, creating the world.
Did I tell you about my Stan Lee encounter recently?
No.
We used it on another podcast, right?
I think so.
I was.
Then tell it to me with a different voice.
Okay. Well, I was down at the Spider-Man recording. No, I'm not going to do that voice.
No.
I was at a Spider-Man.
I'll do the Gergi voice in response to it.
You know what? The Stan Lee story isn't that great. You can just listen to it off another podcast. So,
the Stan Lee story can be found in episode number...
Did you get to the Ray Bradbury panel?
No, did you?
No. Like I said, I only made Quick Draw this year. That's the only one.
Well, you can feel good. Neither did Ray. Movies.
No, Ray missed too, unfortunately.
Yeah. But fake Stan Lee made it to the Quick Draw panel.
I saw him there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
I hope Stan just sends him as a proxy from now on.
Really should.
I had dinner with Sergio Aragonés on Saturday night. That was
I saw him as he was departing.
Yeah.
That's when I saw Misty briefly. So you were in the company of Germans, I heard.
Yes, that's right. Some various German editors from Germany who work on the Bongo line over there, I believe.
You will have dinner with us? Yeah. You will not leave until after we have the
They
main
pay
course.
For dinner. That was very nice. I was very nice folks.
We are doing very well. Good thing you do not have Greek editors.
No. See, I was imagining Sergio is what Don Diego de la Vega is like after he, you know, after he hangs up the Zorro mask. It's sort of like, well, Bernardo, I have fought tyranny in Southern California, and I have defeated the wicked Comandante, and I have done all these wonderful things, and I am getting on in years, so I think I will hang up my cape and my mask and my hat. And I think I will take up the drawing board, and I think I will become Sergio Aragonés, and I think I will draw Gru the Wanderer, and it would be very funny. And I think that's what Don Diego did in his retirement years.
I think he was just getting Sergio bored. He'd just do sketches on people's shirts with the sword.
I've seen Sergio do that. He can do that. He can go, like, Zoro makes a Z, in that much time, you'd have Gru fighting five warriors on your chest. Yep. It happens.
Have you had Sergio on the podcast yet?
No. But I would like to get him. He comes down rarely or sporadically to L.A., and he's mostly up in Ojai. So we'd have to get him up in Ojai, I think. But it would be great.
That'd be a worthy trip.
Yeah, we'll figure out some sort of mutual.
When he comes down, you can maybe do one with him and Mark.
Well, he's just getting back on his feet after a long illness, so I'm hoping he's you know, we can get him when he's feeling a little bit better.
Well, you must.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and now I throw down the gauntlet to Mark Evanier. Dare you to come back on the show and wrest my achievement that I have wrested from you away from me. Let no one rest when all this resting is needed.
He's on his way over right now.
I'm sure he's standing outside the door right now.
Yeah, he is. He is. He'll be and he wrote three episodes of Garfield while he was out there. And two obituaries.
So we just end with a bunch of odd voices?
We could do that, yeah.
Huh? Bye!
Well,
we did the one.
Well, I guess it's time to go.
Like, it's totally the end of the show, Scoob.
Yes, I suppose it is. It's time for us to leave.
Well, golly. It was a wonderful time we had here.
Must be pulling an end out of my hat.
What, pull an end out of your hat? Hokey smoke, that trick never works.
Goodbye, Paul.
Misty is looking.
What is happening in here?
We're doing funny cartoon voices.
As we leave.
Oh, okay.
Misty, you're just maybe, in time for the very end of the last podcast.
Maybe you'd like to take us on home because...
We've done like seven of these.
You've actually done funny cartoon voices and we're just sitting here being babbling idiots.
You've both done cartoon voices. Ken's been on Venture Brothers.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Spooky.
You were spooky?
Spooky.
You were recurring, were you not?
Well, I had two voices with him. I won't call it recurring. Jackson Public just does an impression of my voice now for henchmen.
Oh, let's hear it.
Spooky.
Good.
No, he just did. Just what he calls a very bland voice. Oh, okay, Monarch. We'll do whatever you say. Like, that's not my voice, Jackson. Oh, it totally is.
I want to be on Venture Brothers. I don't care what
you
want.
Oh, you talked to him. You had a nice long conversation with him when we had lunch on Saturday.
Yeah, that was a great time. I didn't want to be gauche. I didn't want to hit him up for that. And just,
was this Doc Hammer you talked to?
Jackson Public.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 Did Doc ever show up?
Finally on Saturday. When you walked over and said hi, Doc was sitting there.
Oh,
you
saw Doc. Oh, that's right. That's right.
I did not see Doc.
He was sitting right next to me when you came over and said hi.
I ignored him on accident.
Oh, it was an accident. Intentionally. Well, hear that, Doc?
He doesn't know who I am anyway.
Doc has a memory like a steel trap. Yes, Doc remembers you.
I don't think we actually ever officially... Well, everybody knows
you.
You
were on the panel, the
quiz
show.
Not with him.
That's right.
Paul was on his panel.
But they were all there. Everyone was there. Yeah.
That reminds me, while I was at Comic-Con, I was talking to Jason Ritter without realizing it. I was like, so what do you do? I'm an actor, but I did this voiceover thing that was really awesome. I'm like,
I got my Venture Brothers. I got Venture Brothers dolls there while I was there. I didn't get a Monarch, though. They were sold out. I got Hank and Dean and Dr. Girlfriend. But
nice.
I wanted a Monarch and I couldn't find
it. Yeah, Monarch's awesome.
Yeah. But, and they only had one henchman, and I wanted both of them.
Wait, the one henchman supposedly is partially based on me, and how it was developed. Henchman 21.
Oh, very nice.
So.
And I thought about getting the Phantom Limb, but I didn't. Now I wish I had, because it was kind of cool.
I think we could probably work that out for you, Paul.
What?
We'll get you a Phantom Limb.
eBay.
Yeah.
Don't forget you need the... Rusty Venture lunchbox with Jonah Senior.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so you can put all your action figures in there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You can show them to all the other kids at recess.
You know what? He shows everything to all the kids. All the time. Every time they come over here, we've got lunch boxes. I mean, right now we have this very small gift basket with superhero items in front of our fireplace.
No child comes here.
No.
No.
They're not welcome.
No, it's
your
like...
Your toys are too expensive.
It's like the Garden of the Selfish Giant. No child comes.
Oh, you are the farthest thing from selfish.
No
sir.
Child came to the garden.
You are very sweet.
Quiet.
Did you answer
the
question?
This is going to be fine. Next year, Deanie Village. He'll fill you in later.
Yes.
All right.
You'll hear the podcast.
I don't know what it is, but I'm in.
Deanie Village.
Oh, he says no.
No, don't listen to him. Deanie Village is going to be the place to hit at Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
All right.
There's going to be a line like the EW party.
Yeah.
This is going to be, this is where all the cool kids go to Deanie Village.
It's like a Santa's Village where people come in to see me.
On a pirate ship.
I would totally visit that place.
Okay. We got a Super Rican Rashi show on the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Girls dressed like Jingle Bell and Polly showing
when he's not in. We got the walk around Paul Dini.
Yes. Can we please? Mm-hmm. I like this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. If anybody was near me, I'd slap him like in Ghostbusters.
I'm a Dinicketeer.
Oh.
The walk around Paul Dini is going
the
to
Dinketeer.
Be
Dinketeer.
A badly constructed Oswald the Lucky Rabbit walk around with a unibrow.
Yes. Oh. No.
No? Okay. No. Well,
yes. You
just,
if you put it in
just pull the ear down.
Yeah. There we go. With it and put it in an Argyle sweater.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely.
We have a little theme song.
Totally. Now, did you please talk to these people about
who's
this night?
Who's the comic
Are they coming
professional
back?
That no one wants to see?
Oh, Paul.
P-A-U...
Oops.
D-I-N-I.
You forgot the L.
Paul Dini.
Paul Dini.
Forgot the L.
Forgot the L.
He
always just forgets the little L.
Paul.
No.
P-A-U-L-D-I-N-I.
It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
And it doesn't work.
Don't go to Diniville. See something else instead.
You jerk.
Yay! Did you answer them about the Snidecast?
Yeah.
Whenever?
Whatever, something will happen with it.
All right.
That was my favorite Comic-Con exclusive, though, the Master Shake. I got a hold of the ceramic Master Shake.
Oh, yeah, let's not talk about that bastard. Hi, Dana.
Uh-oh. Are you guys okay?
Oh, yeah, we're all good. All
right.
We're all good. Right, Dana?
Bitch fight. All good.
Wait, what are you talking about me? What? What the heck? What are you talking? That's funny.
So there's that. Did you also talk about Fred?
Oh, a site called Fred.com.
Good
work.
Go
there. There's things. Oh, and a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Go support the Zombie in My Treehouse and hopefully the sequel Conquest and Snowman Kickstarter at JohnnyFry.com. Please. Money. Thank you.
Yes.
Nice.
Did you tell them about talking to Brian Blessed?
Oh. Talking? I never talked to I talk like Brian Blessed. Yeah, I do.
Brian Blessed.
Should we do the sign off? Because people, I need.
Are you signing off now? Because I have a feeling you covered exactly 0% of the ground I was hoping you guys would cover with Ken.
Well, when some people aren't here, we have to wing it.
I was talking about boobs on the back porch.
And nuns.
I was given no script.
Can I tell what was possibly my favorite Comic-Con moment? It didn't happen to me, but it just kind of made me smile. I was going up to my room. This is like the first night there, and there was this kid in the boot in the elevator with me, and he was like teenage kid, and he was like real happy, and he is like he had a secret, and he wanted to say something,
and you just slapped him.
Yeah, you did.
Welcome to Comic-Con, kid.
Yeah.
I said
I met Paul Dini. Met Paul.
It wasn't that. He said, "Are you having a good show?" And he goes, "Yes." And I had the greatest time because all my friends went off to eat and I couldn't find them. So I just went down by myself to the pool. And right there was Matt Smith. And I talked to him for all night. And I didn't even have to go hang out in Hall H.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he didn't have to risk getting stabbed in the head with a pen.
No. Yeah. And so I just thought it was so great this young man had gotten, you know, an evening with Doctor Who, just happened to stop by the tequila bar for a hamburger.
And you didn't need a badge.
No.
You didn't need to go to any of the halls or on the floor.
Those are the nice little
Comic-Con. That's how you make your own con.
That are few and far between is when you just stumble into somebody that you wanted to meet and you have a moment, you get to chat, and, you know, whether they're a professional or a friend you haven't seen for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I went to Dini Village and I met Paul Dini. And he gave me a signed script page.
No, what is going to Dini Village?
With my name. They are totally going to go to Dini Village. They will come.
Yeah, I would totally go to there.
Just the idea that there's a Dini Village, I would go check it out.
Yeah. It's like, what's that? Is there fake snow? There probably is.
I hope so.
A ukulele.
Yeah.
Yes, all on a pirate ship.
We hear ukulele Christmas music coming from that pile of fake snow over there. They're dancing sock monkeys and girls in shorts capering around for no reason.
That's it.
It's Dini Village.
That would be the hot place to go.
All right, done.
You know what? Let's get one of those big boats out in the marina and cover it in fake snow, and that can be Dini Village.
Yeah, but there's a lot of liability there.
Oh, yeah, people falling in the water.
Yeah, you don't want, I fell off of Dini Village.
Actually, I do want to hear that sentence. I fell off of Dini Village and almost drowned, yes. Yes, yes, that is exactly what I do want.
All right.
I do want it.
Welcome.
Why do you have two glasses? What are you drinking over there, buddy?
I'm a two-fisted drinker.
You are indeed.
I went to Dini Village and all I got was resuscitated.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You know, when we got married, we actually gave away t-shirts on the way out of the wedding that said, I went all the way to Paul and Misty's wedding and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. We actually handed those out. That was our thank you gift for all the people who had traveled all the way to Carmel to watch us get married. What a drag that was.
What?
It's
fun.
Save it for the next podcast.
No,
I gotta go. Save
it
for Mark.
I don't mean the marriage. I meant the wedding.
Save it for Mark Evanier. I gotta get going.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Mark. Hi,
we
Dana.
We love Mark Evanier.
So do you want me? I'll do the blessed goodbye.
Yes, we do.
How's your levels? It's gonna blow out your levels.
Yeah, I'm prepping now. Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Rush, she's alive.
Oh my God, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's really good. Paul just looked at me like, whoa.
Did I blow you out?
Oh, yeah, I think you actually did.
Ah, and it is Brian Blessed.
Wow.
Did he clip?
I completely lost him there when he did that.
Did it not? Did
so
it not?
Brandon. Hey!
It's like you're ordering fast food.
So to contact your Brian Blessed, I would add a snavely, faded and Terry Thomas. Ta-ta.
Who the hell was that?
Terry Thomas.
So with that, let us play you out while doing our Vincent Price impersonations. Goodbye. Too soon.
Goodbye, Master.
Whoa, before we go, we here at Radio Rashi would like to give a big shout out and thanks to our pal Scott Neatlick at Mattel Toys and extend our apologies to Maximilian Q Mattel for goofing online protocol. We'll get it right next year.
Goodbye so soon, and isn't this a crime? We know by now that time knows how to fly. So here's goodbye so soon, you'll find your separate way. If time's so short, I'll say so long and go so soon. Goodbye. You followed me, I followed you. We were like each other's shadows for a while. Now as you see, this game is through. So although it hurts, I'll try to smile as I say goodbye so soon. And isn't this a crime? We know by now the time knows how to fly. So here's goodbye so soon, you'll find your separate way. With time so short, I'll say so long and go so soon. Goodbye.
So long and go so soon.
followed me, I followed you. We were like each other's shadows for a while. Now as you see, this game is through. So although it hurts, I'll try to smile as I say goodbye so soon. And isn't this a crime? We know by now that time knows how to fly. So here's goodbye so soon. You'll find your separate way. With time so short, I'll say so long and